I'm Duncan MacLeod, and this is Tech Central's TCS Plus, the business technology show, which is brought to you today by First Distribution. Now, this is the second in a three-part discussion on the future of database management in the cloud, with a specific focus on Microsoft Azure SQL. Now, this might sound a little technical, but we are doing this through a business lens, so don't go anywhere. And if you missed episode one with First Distribution and Silicon Overdrive, please do go and check out that episode as well, or feel free to dive straight into this episode. And in this episode, I'm joined solo in the hot seat today by Pregan Chetty. Pregan Chetty is Microsoft Azure Product Manager at First Distribution. Pregan, welcome back to the show.
Thanks once again, Duncan. Pleasure to be here.
Pleasure. Looking forward to the continuation of this discussion. I'm imagining that a title like Microsoft Product Manager means you spend a lot of time with your head in the clouds.
Unfortunately, yes. I must spend a fair amount of time with my head in the clouds trying to find solutions to problems and just provide as best assistance as we can to the market out there.
Cool. So as I mentioned, this is the second segment in the three-part series. And in this episode, we're going to be talking about what's actually involved in migrating from an on-premises SQL server to Azure SQL. Now, I imagine there's a lot that can go wrong in a migration like this.
Definitely.
But what exactly is involved? Before you even begin the migration, what should you be considering?
The first thing is understanding your environment, understanding what your database is talking to and what services are communicating or interconnected into your on-premise infrastructure or, in certain cases, your hybridized environment. You know, every customer has a different variant and different flavor of their infrastructure. And the first thing we always have to do, whether it is a SQL migration, a data migration, whatever sort of migration it is to understand exactly what are we moving. And when we move that, what is the business impact? A lot of the times you see a lot of customers and a lot of businesses looking to modernize their environment and they go on these migration journeys, but without the proper planning, they always run into a hiccup. And what we try to do as best practice is always follow the dotted line. Firstly, scope, then assess, then execute. That way we can ensure that whoever we are moving data over for, moving systems, moving SQL databases for, has business continuity and they are not getting any disruption to their business.
Okay. You mentioned, and I love the jargon in the IT industry, a hybridized environment. What about companies? Is it an option for companies to continue to run some on-prem SQL and some cloud SQL, or is it generally recommended that you shift the whole lot into the cloud if you're going to do that?
Not necessarily. I think it all depends on the business strategy and where you're headed in terms of your projected goal of migrating over. You know, there are a lot of new laws that have come out in place. You should have heard the terms POPI, GDPR.
Yes.
There's now a new one called DORA. And DORA is a German law that speaks back to data resiliency and data residency. Now, with a law of this nature, again, conforming to GDPR laws and policies, containing personal information needs to be secured very, very carefully. Mm-hmm. You need to meet a certain amount of security parameters from your perimeter level all the way to your endpoint, all the way down to the user level. Now, with that being said, we're seeing a major shift of a lot of customers looking to move back to the on-premise environment.
Oh, really? Okay.
And, you know, you ask yourself the question, why would I move my data back? The only reason being the data regulation that I need to conform mm-hmm. to. Now, there's so many ways of actually meeting that regulation. One of the best methods of doing that is creating that hybridized environment, allowing you to scale up your storage solutions from an on-premise environment to the cloud, mm-hmm. if needs be. And not only storage, think about computing requirements, services, applications. Anything that speaks back to a database can be scaled up. Let's go one step back. What happens if your database needs to scale? General scenario would be a customer would go out, buy a bigger tin, bigger, better license, implement that again. But companies don't realize there's still a electricity cost. Mm-hmm. There's still a skill cost. There's still a maintenance cost that is associated with
and
that.
And a CapEx cost.
Correct. The CapEx cost, which is the biggest thing, right? Yeah. And when we look at customers who are moving back to the on-prem world, it's one, because of data residency, and two, because of cost.
Okay.
Right. Because of me having this compliance structure built into my organization, it means that I need to have a very, very specific set of tools, hardware, and licensing that's going to protect that data. Azure helps you. Running something like SQL in Azure gives you the benefit of the shared responsibility Right. Now, shared responsibility is essentially a model whereby the vendor will protect a certain level of the technology or the solution that they're providing you. Majority of the cases, it's always up to the data level, where the end customer or the business user is then responsible and liable for the protection and access of the data. Mm-hmm. And that would be one of the main things why you would see customers going back to on-prem. It's not something that is very common. You know, mainly your multinationals are now looking at this and now, you know, exploring different routes of data residency. But in general, there isn't a particular reason per se, mm-hmm. and there isn't a particular reason not to.
And a lot of the big cloud providers like Microsoft, they very often have data centers in market anyway. So
100%.
It's not necessarily an issue. And I guess once you're in the cloud and you realize the scale it gives you and the ability to scale up quickly, and I mean, I think of retailers, for example, we're in 100%. Black Friday season at the moment.
Perfect timing, right?
Yeah. You don't want to have to invest in all that infrastructure you need just to serve customers on one day of the year when you could have mm-hmm. your cloud provider just seamlessly scale that up for you, right?
100%. I mean, think of Takealot. Takealot has a user profile and a password, or actually not even Takealot, any e-commerce site. Mm. You have a set of credentials that allow you to go into that platform and purchase out however much you'd like or whatever you'd like. What happens when the platform gets too congested? How do you open up access for every single consumer that wants to purchase out of your marketplace? The easiest way to do that is to scale your services up, create more availability and more accessibility for each and every user. If we look at the traditional world of SQL and the traditional world of IT infrastructure being on-prem, Black Friday would be a major hassle to an e-commerce customer hosting mm-hmm. on-prem. Mm-hmm. Because if they hit capacity, they will not be able to scale up. Within a service like Azure or any hyperscaler for that matter, you have the ability of setting different parameters and different rules. These allow you to build your infrastructure up based on your current need at that particular mm-hmm. time. So say on a Black Friday sale, if I know at 9 o'clock my services are, you know, obviously going to reach its peak, I need to have a solution or a policy in play through my actual Azure workload to automatically scale that up. Mm-hmm. That also means I'm saving money on the actual skill sets of the people managing that environment in my organization.
Yeah, absolutely. And you don't have that huge upfront CapEx cost. Well, obviously, your operational costs will rise when the demand is there, but that's a once-off. It's not
100%.
A big piece of machinery you've bought that's sitting in your basement and not doing anything 364 days a year.
Definitely. I mean, that's a lot of money being spent on just the basic tenant now in today's day and age.
Yeah. Okay, so let's have a look at a company's decided it wants to move its SQL database to the cloud, and they've thought this through properly. They've decided this is the right strategy for us. Does Microsoft make it fairly easy to move from on-premises SQL to the cloud? Do they handhold you through the process or at least provide you with some tools that can assist you? Mm-hmm.
Definitely. So Microsoft as a vendor does have technical teams and resources that you can leverage upon within these migration journeys, whichever aspect or step you're currently in, there's always assistance. But I think in addition to that, First Distribution also provides first level support and hand-holding services, if you want to call it that,
sure.
whereby in certain cases, myself personally or the Azure technical team will actually jump on a call with you and we will help you throughout the process. We'll do everything from guiding, obligatory free readiness assessment using Microsoft's best of grade technologies, mm-hmm. well, actually the same technologies that they use. These sit in Azure as it is in the current state, and we actually activate an Azure subscription and run an assessment against that. What this allows us to do is to give a customer the full lay of the land, where there may be potential areas for reconfiguration, rebuilding, or even replatforming. So yes, outside of Microsoft, there is a massive community of experts, such as Jody, for example. You know, Jody is one of those foremost
SQL guys. Episode one,
100%.
Jody from Silicon Overdrive. Yeah.
Yep. So he has immense skill in that particular area, and there are a lot of other players who also play in the SQL space. You know, it's all about what is my requirements, how complex is my environment, and where will I need the help from? Mm-hmm. Within the Microsoft channel community and the channel business, there are multiple levels of support that you can get, not only from your resellers, but from your distributors, from any developers that may be, you know, working in conjunction to your environment, and the vendor themselves.
Yes.
Working through First Distribution also has various perks in the sense that we actually kind of found a loophole, I would like to call it, but it's not necessarily a loophole. It's more of a configuration setup in terms of how we conduct the Azure business, where we allow our partners to leverage our advanced support agreement with Microsoft to get better support times. And what this means is, if you are in that migration process and you are stuck in a major battle, you'd be able to get very, very prompt support from Microsoft telephonically with an agent who will actually talk you and handhold you throughout the entire process. So yes, support is definitely there throughout.
Definitely covered. All right. Lastly, then, we've chatted on some we've chatted specifically about the cost advantage of moving to the cloud. What are some of the other top motivators for businesses, particularly here in South Africa, to migrate away from an on-premises SQL Server to Azure SQL? What are some of the big drivers that you're hearing from end-user customers?
I wouldn't really refer to them as big drivers, Duncan. Okay. They're actually very simple things, and some of them are actually very shocking, you know. One of the recent customers I actually got into an engagement around a SQL migration was just the use of his time within his IT admin team. It was a simple business aspect where they had multiple other projects in terms of digital transformation that IT team needed to obviously spend resource, spend skill, and start building up this particular service for the customer. And what they actually found was that shifting their SQL databases over into an Azure PaaS model actually allowed them to free up time to meet other business needs. But in addition to freeing up that time, that CapEx to OpEx shift, which is very, very pertinent in the migration, also allowed them to free up money to actually meet other business requirements. In addition to that, if we take out the commercials and we take out the technology aspect, we also have the user aspect, right? The majority of the time, a database would be used for a number of different things, a number of different business functions, communicating with different teams. In this particular case, the finance team was one of those teams who had to work with the database of customers and check invoice numbers, etc. And what we were able to do within Azure, and once we successfully migrated the environment over, was we were able to actually make use of AI cognitive services that are built into Azure, available to every customer right now, either through the marketplace or through the service that you're procuring within the cloud. And we were able to actually automate, using AI services, methodologies to actually streamline the statement correlation between the finance team and who they were actually allocating a payment to. This also made a productivity effect and impact to that business. They are now much more efficient in terms of invoicing customers. And it's not only the technology standpoint or the infrastructure cost, there's a human element of benefit. And that's also allowed them to make better business decisions when it comes to spending money in the organization. And that all comes from freeing up one area of money, being your IT department.
And being cloud-based software as a service, I imagine that you're always on the latest technology that's available from Microsoft. You're not sitting with maybe an old version of SQL Server like you might in your on-premises environment. If you're in the cloud, Microsoft is delivering the latest technologies around SQL that are stable directly to you.
So in Azure, you do always have the accessibility to the latest version. However, there is also support for legacy systems as well.
Okay.
You know, you do get a scenario where a customer will require a very legacy system. Could be SQL, could be Microsoft Server, it could be any aspect of Microsoft technology.
And that can be hosted in the cloud too.
Can be hosted in the cloud. And the reason why you can actually do that is, obviously right now with legacy systems, patch updates are a common problem.
Yes.
Right? You can't get the next patch, or your vendor has either stopped providing that patch update from a security standpoint for their technology. With that being said, Azure's secured model and the notion of Microsoft having security first at the forefront of anything and everything Azure focused helps customers. It allows them to secure that legacy environment that may not necessarily have the latest patch update or security tools.
Okay. I think we'll wrap it there, Pregan. Remind me again what the First Distribution website is.
So the First Distribution website is www.firstdistribution.com.
.com, not .co.za. Pregan Chetty is Azure Product Manager at First Distribution. Thanks for your time. And do check out episode 3 in the series, which is coming soon.
Thank you so much for having me, Duncan.
Pleasure. Thank you.
Thanks.